Amen. Thank you so much. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to Isaiah, the 50th chapter. Now, if you're mixed up on numbers, we jumped way ahead to the 59th chapter last week, but now we're bringing it back in line with where we ended prior to Christmas. We ended on the 49th. We're now moving to the 50th chapter. And just going to read a couple of verses to get us started. I'm going to start in verse 10 of the 50th chapter. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Look, all of you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks you have kindled. This you shall have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, pray that you would take your word, that you would penetrate our hearts. Father, I pray that you would draw us to Jesus. Equip us for what is ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's something very peculiar about the ending of this chapter. And if you look at verse 10, it says, who is among you that fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? In hearing those words, would you be ready to raise your hand and say, ooh, it's me? I fear the Lord. I respect God. I respect him every day. I fear him every day. I seek to follow him every single day in everything I do. I have respect for the Lord Most High. If you can do that, that's wonderful. It gets harder. The next phrase is a little more difficult. Who among you obeys the voice of his servant? Now, what that is saying is, who among you have been faithful to hear everything that Brother Jerry has preached, and you have taken it in, and you have obeyed every single thing, at least those things that you were awake to hear? But you have obeyed them all. I have listened to it all. I've obeyed it all. I have been very true to God's word that I have been taught. Well, through your mind right now should be going the phrase, uh-oh. While you're trying to recover from that, let me hit you with the peculiar part. And no, that wasn't it. In verse 10, who among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, get this, that walks in darkness and has no light? Most places in the Bible where you see walking in darkness, you're talking about people that are away from God, people that are walking in sin and are way away from what God desires. Certainly, everywhere we look, we see that kind of darkness. That kind of darkness is in our land. That kind of darkness is where you work. That kind of darkness is where you go to school. That kind of darkness is everywhere that we face today. And you see the sin of this world. That's not what this is talking about. If you follow this passage, God is speaking of one who fears the Lord and is walking according to his word. Now, in the context of the entire Bible, when you see that, you are looking at somebody that is walking in the light. But this is talking about somebody walking in the darkness. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his Son, Christ Jesus, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus obeyed God's word and walked in the light. And if we obey God's word, the Bible says we are walking in the light and we are cleansed from sin. hey, the only way I got to get rid of my sin is to walk with Jesus, is to allow him to forgive me by the blood sacrifice he made on Calvary's cross. Therefore, the darkness in this passage is not speaking about one walking in sin. Even though you know that, it doesn't really clear up the problem. If verse 10 is not speaking of somebody walking in sin because they are walking faithfully with God, then it must be talking about someone who believes in God, who's walking with God, who's obeying God, and is in darkness of circumstance. And you may not be there today, but my friend, if you live long enough, you will find a dark patch. You will find the rough time. You will find difficult moments. And many of you are there right now. And you're trying to do it right, and my goodness, you're in church in the coldest day of the year. Where else would you go to warm up? You know, we got all this hot air, among other things, but you know, you should be warm. And I'm thankful for Northside Baptist Church because it is a warm place for a cold world. You may be here today and you're trying to do it right, but everywhere you look, there seems to be heaviness, and you get through this problem, and then there's another problem, and you get through that problem, and then there's another problem. And you want to walk with God, and you're trying to walk with God. We do people a disservice when we tell them if they come to Jesus, everything is going to be bright and sunny, you'll never get sick, and you'll always have money in the bank. God never, never, never says that. The testimony of faithful saints in the Bible does not say that. Think of Job, poor old Job. He suffered heartache, tears, and pain. Job never understood why he was suffering, but he suffered anyway. Maybe you're going through darkness and it's difficult and you have no idea, why is this happening to me? I'm trying to do things right. And you're going to ask why now, and you're going to ask why later, and you're going to just, if you chew on that why, it will keep you up nights. And you know what will happen at the end of all of that? You still won't know. Why is an unanswerable question. Talk to children. Every time you answer them, they say, why? You give them the answer, they say, why? And the whys keep coming. So Job doesn't ask why. He lost his wealth, his health, and his family, and he doesn't ask why. In verse 8 of chapter 19 of Job, he says, he has set darkness in my path. Now Job is walking with God, and there's darkness in his path. Time and time again, if you read through Job's book, you're going to see darkness in his life. And you're going to see him asking why. But you will never find, not once will you find, in the entire book will you find where God tells him why. God wants us to trust him when we don't know why. God wants us to trust him and have faith in him, and he will inhabit that faith and he will bless our lives as a result. So Job finally gives up on his why, and what does he say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. If you're going to live in 2026 and you're going to be happy through the year and you're going to have strength through the year and you're going to accomplish for Jesus during the year, you're going to need to trust him when the dark time comes. When it doesn't go your way, when everything isn't rosy, trust him. He is still God in every situation. So he doesn't ask why. He just trusts. Think of Habakkuk. Habakkuk did not understand the darkness either in his life. In Habakkuk 1:3, why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble, for plundering and strife are before me? This is a man walking with God. Habakkuk 1:2, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear me? That's the voice of somebody in the dark of circumstances. Have you ever prayed and you don't see the answer to that prayer, and you want to see the answer to that prayer, but it just doesn't seem to be there? Don't start doubting God. God may have already answered and you just didn't see it. Habakkuk was surrounded by darkness, though he sought to live for God. Well, Brother Jerry, that's all Old Testament. Okay, let's get New Testament. Ever heard of John the Baptist? John was the forerunner of our Lord Jesus. He proclaimed God's word. He was chosen to even baptize Jesus himself in the Jordan River. And no, it wasn't the Jordan River. Jesus said, of men born of women, there has never been one greater than he, John. That's a pretty good commendation. Boy, I would like to have that on my resume. John was arrested, put in prison. Why? Because he preached against an incestuous marriage of Herod Antipas. That prison was a dark time for John. He was there for a while. And while he was there, there was difficulties that just came over him. He even sent two of his disciples to talk to Jesus just to make sure that he didn't miss it and Jesus was really the Messiah. John was struggling. He was so very faithful. And yet what happened to John? His head was chopped off, put on a silver platter for Herodias' daughter. Then there was Paul. Ever heard of Paul? The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest minds that God ever made. He was one of the first missionaries. He was used of God to start churches and spread the gospel, wrote much of our Bible, of our New Testament, getting God's truth to us. This was Paul. Yet, if you read in the book of Corinthians, you're going to find that Paul was perplexed. He thought he would have comfort, and he was struggling, and he was perplexed. I kind of like knowing that he was perplexed. I'm sorry he was perplexed. But you know, if Paul, the greatest mind God ever made, was perplexed, it comforts me who has much of a lesser mind when I'm perplexed. If you're seeking to walk with God and you find yourself in a period of dark circumstances, you're in good company. Now, let me underline something here. You're seeking to walk with God and things aren't right for you and you're in dark situation, make sure you check out your life. Make sure you check out your life with God's word. Make sure there's not hidden sin in your life that you haven't confessed. Because sin will separate you from God and God's prayer and God's care. So make sure you rule that out. And then walk with God. Walk with God when it's sunny. Walk with God when it's dark. Listen. If you are in darkness and you are walking with God as best you can and you are true to his word, you have no unconfessed sin in your life, and yet there is darkness, I want you to know it does not mean you have left God. And please know it does not mean God has left you. He will never leave you, as Tom reminded us. He will never leave you and never forsake you. If we could just capture if we could just capture how one who walked with God better than anybody else ever walked with God, who saw more darkness than anybody on the planet has ever or will ever see, how they were so triumphant, then perhaps we'll know what to do when we're in the darkness and walking with God. That one is God's servant. That one is God's Messiah. That one is Jesus. Jesus learned from the Father. In verse 4 of chapter 50, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary." He wakens morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as the learned. Jesus submitted his will to the Lord God. He submitted to the Father. And you're going to say, well, he was God. Certainly he submitted to God. He submitted to himself. Well, when he came, he took the position of you or me. He came to live as we lived. He laid aside his godly power, his godly authority. He put it all aside to live not as we live, because we live as sinners, but as we should live. You see, Jesus walked the path you walk, yet without sinning. We should live trusting fully in the Lord God. That's how he lived. That's how he showed us to live. The term Lord God is used 4 times in this chapter. It means sovereign Lord. In the Hebrew, Jehovah Adonai. God is sovereign. He is in complete control. He is the owner of all the world, and as such, should be obeyed without question. Listen, if we know God said it, that should settle it in our hearts and our lives. And we should seek to do it. This is saying Jesus was able to walk through the darkness of this world because he submitted to the Lord God. And that's exactly true. In every area of his life, every moment of his life, he walked in the will of the Father. You cannot hope to have victory over darkness if you're not willing to submit your life to God. If you're not willing to do it God's way, you're not going to walk through the darkness victoriously. You're not going to walk through the light victoriously because you're not going to get in the light. Everything Jesus did, everything Jesus said was taught to him by the Father. John 6:38, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." John 8:28, "I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things." This is why Jesus so many times would separate from the disciples, go out into the wilderness, and have alone time with the Father God. He had his quiet time. Certainly we should seek out God's word and a time of prayer when we get alone with God. How do you think you can make it safely through the dark world without the guidance of a holy God? Without the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful God? Jesus learned from the Father so that he knew what to say and when to say it. People need to be pointed to Jesus. Those of us who know him need to be ready to give people the direction to find him. Also, God will give the words that can bring comfort. Listen, you ever have somebody you're talking to and they've got something terrible going on and there really are no words? God can give you what to say. Or sometimes God can shut thy mouth so you will listen. And that's what they need. Today we can learn from God's word. Today we can learn through Bible study. We can learn through Sunday school. You need to be in Sunday school. If you want to be new wave, you need to be in small group. But only small groups that study the Bible. And that's Sunday school here. You need to be in worship. You need to be, listen, if you are not serving in Awanas and you're not serving with our students on Wednesday nights, you need to be in Wednesday worship. All right, we have a goal to double our Wednesday worship. And you can help us with that. That's church people coming to church, and that's just what we should do. God will give words that can bring comfort. Learn from God's word. Learn through the Bible. Learn through preaching. Learn through the songs that we sing of Jesus. Spend time with God so you're ready when the lights go out. Jesus learned from the Father. Jesus listened to the Father. Verse 5, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Jesus did more than learn from God. He listened to God. And he was not rebellious. What does that mean? That means he didn't ever say, well, I know God said this, but I'm going to do that. Are you rebellious to God's word? Well, are you doing it? If you're not following God's word, you're rebelling to God's word. Jesus was able to walk through the darkness of life because he was obedient to the word of God that he learned. The people to whom Isaiah spoke did not listen, and they didn't have a willingness to hear. They didn't have a willingness to learn or follow what God commanded. If you're in darkness, and you're not willing to open your ears to hear where to place your foot, you can't see, you're in darkness, then you can't complain when you run into a wall or off a cliff. God gives you what you need for where you are in life, whether in the light, whether in the darkness, whether in good times, whether in bad times, whether in sickness, whether in health. God will give you what you need for your next step. But you got to listen. You got to hear. You got to obey. The Father's will meant that Jesus would endure great suffering. Yet Jesus wouldn't back away. In John 14:31, as the Father has given me commandment, even so I do. Jesus followed God's will when he left the throne in glory to be born in a lowly manger, training deity for diapers. He followed God's will when he healed the sick, when he made the blind see, the lame walk, and when he raised the dead. He followed God's will when he cleansed the temple, when he had the triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Knowing he would be taken, knowing he would die, he followed God's will when he went to the garden and knelt down and prayed. And we have a testimony of that prayer. Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He followed God's will in how he spoke or did not speak through the trials. When he was nailed to the cross, bleeding, dying, paying the penalty for my sin and your sin, knowing he could call 10,000 angels at any moment, and those angels would have come and taken the Romans away and comforted him. He kept following God's will anyway, and he did not call out. He stayed on the cross, obeying the Father's will. What was God's will? To provide a way for you and I to get to heaven. praise God, he not only learned from God, he followed God's will. His ears were open. Now, believer, if you're in a time of darkness, have you taken time to learn from God's word? Have you sought out your situation in the Bible? Are you faithful in hearing when you have opportunity to hear? Are you learning? Are you listening? Are you hearing? Are you obeying? Well, Brother Jerry, I just don't know what to do. Do what you know God wants you to do. You listening? That means love other people. Have God's love for other people. Forgive other people. I don't care what they did. I know what we did to Jesus. Forgive them every time, all the time. Be faithful in Bible study and worship. Tithe. Yeah, that's right. Be a giver. Some of you need to give beyond the tithe. As God blesses you, you are a blessing. Share your faith. Oh, what a blessing it is when I hear of some of our people that are out in the world sharing their faith. Tell people about Jesus. If we all tell enough people about Jesus, there will be some who come in here and we baptize. We need to be doing that. All of us need to be doing that. If you are in a period of darkness, you may not be able to see which way to go. So just follow what you know of God's will, and he will open up more of his will. You know, listen and obey. Song says, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So Jesus learned, he listened, and Jesus leaned on the Father. Verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. Verse 9, behold, the Lord God will help me. Jesus set his face like a flint toward God's will, even though it meant the cross. And when it was so difficult, he leaned upon the Father God. Verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from the shame and the spitting. Yes, this is prophetic, talking about what Jesus would go through in suffering. Jesus faced the darkest of times. He was able to endure because he leaned on the Father God. He listened to God. He learned from God. Without God's help, listen, I totally believe without God's help in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus suffered so much that he sweat drops of blood, I believe he would have died right there and not been able to go to the cross for you and for me. But in the scriptures, it tells us that God sent an angel to minister to him. It was leaning on the Father that got him through that time. He focused the darkest of times, and yet he was faithful. Without the help of the Father, all would have been lost. He leaned upon the Father even in his last breath. What did he say? It is finished. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Leaning on the Father, trusting the Father to hold him up, to prop him up. Jesus shows us how to make it through the darkest of times. Learn from God. Listen to God. Lean on God. You can't do any of that if you don't know God. If you haven't met Jesus, then you can't do those things. And so right now, if we're going to ask you, if you've never invited Jesus to come into your life, to forgive your sins and to save your soul, that you would do that this very day, whether you're here, whether you're online, that you would give your heart to Jesus and ask him to forgive you, turn from your sins, turn to Jesus, allow him to save your soul, and then start living for him. What's the first step? Well, baptism would be the first step. That's obedience to God. You may say, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized. Well, then you haven't been obedient. If you know the Lord, you need to be obedient. And so we can help you with those things. This morning, would you just come to Jesus? This morning, will you give your heart to Jesus? And what if you're a believer? And believer, you're facing the dark moments. Well, maybe you just need to pray for God's strength, God's help, God's direction. Trust in the word that he has given you. Listen to him. Obey him. Lean on him. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. If you don't have a church home, we would love to be that place. Come and just say, I'd like to be part of this church. We'll take care of that. God calls you to a decision. Would you make it? Maybe you just need to come and pray. Maybe you need to pray for you. Maybe you need to pray for others. You come. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I ask right now that you would move within our hearts to decisions that we need to make. All over this room, there are individuals, Father, many facing dark times, yet seeking to walk with you. Hold them up now, Father. Let them look to you. And Father, I pray that you would lead them through. For those that don't know Jesus, let them come right now. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You come as we sing.